The Torah tells us in Parshas Veschanan, in Perek Dalet, in Pasuk Mem Aleph, that Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the things he did towards the end of his life was to set up the Ari Mikla, to set up the cities of refuge that if a person kills in a style of manslaughter, not on purpose, so they're not brought to they're not going to be killed and based him, but rather there's a trial, and if they turn out that they killed by accident, so then they're let to stay in this Ir Miklat, this city of refuge, which we are all very, very familiar with. And in the introduction to this idea, so there's a very interesting expression to explain where and how Moshe Rabbeinu set it up. It says the Pasuk, as Yavdil Moshe, Shalosh Arim, that Moshe Rabbeinu set up three cities, Be'ever HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan, meaning the non-Israel side, Mizracha Shemesh, towards the east, where the sun, and it doesn't qualify what sun is, it just says Mizracha Shemesh, and the Pashup Shad is where the sun rises, meaning towards the east where the sun comes up. That is the simple understanding of this Pasuk. And the Gemara Makos notes this very strange expression of Mizracha Shemesh, and it hints us into a conversation that Moshe Rabbeinu, or Hashem, had with Moshe Rabbeinu. It says the Gemara Makos, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Darash Rav Simlai. Mai Dechsiv, what does it mean? Az Yivdil Moshe, Shalosh Arim Be'Ever HaYarden, Mizracha Shemesh, that it was towards the sun, where the sun shone. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Hazrach Shemesh LeRotzchim. You have caused the sun to shine for those who are murderers. And Rashi and the Mefarshim explain that within the laws of Ari Miklat, we find that if a person goes, has to run away, his Rebbe also goes with him into Galus, also follows him to the Ari Miklat so he can learn Torah. But the laws of Ari Miklat are set up in a way that allows a person to still feel like a human being, even though he made a tragic mistake. That still there's a way for a person to be connected to Torah Hashem, to Ruchnias in some way. Not everything is lost. Ikadamre, the other way to explain what happened, is Amar Lei, Hazrach Shemesh Rotzchim, you have caused the sun to shine for these murderers. Meaning, Hamosher Benu, a person was in a sense of darkness. A person felt, what am I going to do now with my life? I have nowhere to go. I have to live in the city. What's going to be with me and my family? And Moshe Rabbeinu took a little bit of light, a little bit of sun, and he shone it on these people and allowed them to have some sort of something to live for, something to be worth it by setting up the Ir Miklat to allow them to feel some connection to Ruchnias and Torah. This is the explanation of the Gemara here in Makos. That Moshe Rabbeinu felt the anguish of those who would find themselves to be accidental killers. There is a very important mimer from Rav Volbi, which will be the basis of what we're going to discuss today, which is found in the Alei Shor in Chelek Aleph. This is in the Shar Shlishi in Perek Tes. This is on page Kuf Pei Tes in the Alei Shor. And he expands upon this in Chelek Beis on page Resh, on page 200. And he develops the following idea based on this Gemara. That Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot to do towards the end of his life. He was very busy. He had to make sure Bnei Yisrael prepared. He had to take care of his family. He had to take care of a lot of things. The Sifrei Torah had to be written for the different tribes. He had to make sure that everyone got the proper Musar. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu spent time toward the end of his life worrying about what murderers were going to do when they were in the Ir Miklat. Really? This is the most important thing to do? So Rav Volbi notes that Moshe began his career where? Vayar b'sivlo sam. The first thing Moshe Rabbeinu did as a leader was to go out and to feel other people's pain. And what's the last thing Moshe Rabbeinu does? He sets up Ari Miklat. He feels other people's pain. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is all about. And this, says Rav Volbi, is the concept of Ha'aras Panim. To show goodness and to show love towards another person to make them feel good about themselves. It's not just about being nice, as Rav Volbi. It's about making yourself into a person who makes other people feel good about themselves. And he cites a Ramban. The Ramban at the end of the second perek in Shmos, in the Pasuk discussing Vayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem saw Bnei Yisrael were crying out, and eventually he set into motion the Geula of Moshe Rabbeinu taking him out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi there says the idea that Pirush v'yada Elohim nasan aleihem leiv v'loha elim eino mehem, that Hashem didn't turn away from the Jewish people and he paid attention to them. And then at the end of the Ramban, where the Ramban says that Rashi's explanation is good, and he elaborates on Rashi's explanation, he then quotes v'yal derech ha'emes. This is the part in the article translation where they stop telling you what's going on. But Ravolbi gives us Rishus to enter into this area, and he says as follows: V'al derech ha'emes yesh b'kosuv hazeh sod gadol misisrei ha'Torah. In this idea of Hashem paying attention to the Jewish people is a great secret, one of the greatest secrets within the Torah. Lomar ki ala inuyim lamor panav v'karev osam el hadas. Hashem was meir panav. He's shown light upon them by showing an interest in them, by showing a love for them. And says Ravolbi, this is the concept of a person being Meir Panav. He quotes the Yalkut and Tehillim Perek Pei, that Ha'aras Panav from a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the most important thing. To know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in you, to feel that Hashem loves you, is no greater feeling in the world. A person feels connected that Hashem wants to be involved in his life. And he quotes the Gemara in Ksuvas, Kuf Yad Aleph Amud Beis, Damar of Yochanan, Tov Hamalbin Shinayim Lechavero, Yosir Mimashkehu Chalav. It is greater to show the whites of your teeth, to smile at another person, than to actually nourish him with milk, to give him life with milk. Shne Amar, V'lovan Shinayim Mechalav Altikri Leven Shinayim Mechalav Altikri Leven Shinayim Ela Libun Shinayim. It is the whitening of your teeth. The whitening of your teeth is what is going to give a person nourishment. Says Rashi, Afzu Lashon Sechok Shehasochek Shinav Negalim. When a person smiles, they show their teeth. Says the Gemara in Ksuvas, you want to make a person feel good, you need to smile at them. Says Ravolbi, you need to be Meir Panav. You need to treat them in a way that makes them feel good. And the concept here of being Meir Panav and smiling at people is elaborated at length by the Bali HaMusar. But Nassim Sifinkel, the altar of Slobodka, the Sichos written down in the Or HaTzafon in Chelek Aleph, on page Reish Chaf Dalad. And there he describes the case, we knew a person who every single day would go around to people and offer them milk to drink. You know, I see you're not feeling well, you could feel better about yourself, you know, hopefully you're not lactose intolerant, you know, would you like some milk? To go around and making people feel better. And then we would say, what a tzaddik, amazing. He goes around, he gives people milk, and just hands out, you know, free nourishment to people. What an amazing tzaddik. So says the Altar of Slobodka, we all can be that person. Nis'oyer lefaneinu eza hanas gorim adam lechavero b'shashuhu mashkeu chalav. What amazing pleasure you give a person when you give him something to drink like milk. U'beprat bizman shechavero me'ulaf mitzamon v'karlo. Let's say a person is very cold and he's hungry. V'hu bo mashko so chalav cham marva. You give him a nice warm cup of milk. V'im nira adam shemashkim kol yom baboker v'chozer ad ha'erev abate aniyem v'cholam. A person was going around to the poor people and to the people who are sick, umashko sam b'chalav, and he gave them milk. Kama nariches adam hazeh be'ilu torim shal tov umotav nachter. So we would honor him at dinners and give him such kavod to go around and help poor people, to give them warm milk to drink. Harei lo nimsa kedugmasa. No one would be like him. V'hina ibayim chazal magal manu. And chazal come and expose to us. Sheish l'kol adam hayecholas ubli tircha yisera ligmul chesedim chavero. B'mida o yoser gedola. You can be greater than that person who hands out milk to everyone. V'ilahal bin lahem shinayim laharos lahem panim mi'iros humaspiros. All you have to do is smile. Just smile at a person when you see them in the morning. To have a good countenance on your face. To walk around in a pleasurable expression to make other people feel good. To give someone a cheerful good morning. That's all you have to do. And you're on the level of this great tzaddik. Kianama zugudoli yoser mahashkos chalav. That is greater than feeding a person milk. Very, very powerful idea. That all you have to do to see people when they walk into shul in the morning is to be meir panim. Someone walks into shul, you give them a big hello and a big good morning with a smile. You were just mekayim tremendous aspects of chesed. The idea of being meir panim. Ravolbi goes on to say, that even infants recognize the importance of smiling. Everyone gets so excited when the baby smiles for the first time. Or when you smile at a baby. They have studies showing that when you smile at a baby, it affects it versus when you frown. The baby knows the difference between smiling and frowning. And he says that when we give a child a smile, it's a form of nutrition. And he writes as follows. A person who denies being meyer panim, denies smiling and warmth at children, is like a person who does not give nutrients and sun and water to a plant. What's going to happen to the plant? Nothing good is going to happen. And the same thing with a child. A person who doesn't smile and have warmth for a child is a person who's denying that child essential nutrients to be a healthy human being. The sign of a healthy child is a child who smiles. That's a step in an infant's growth, where an infant is able to smile. Rahman al-Itslan, an infant who is not able to smile at a certain point, can mean unfortunate things for the rest of that child's life. It's so important. Revolbi says the smile is the sign of a person's neshama working properly. A person who doesn't smile, it means there's something off in their neshama, because the smile comes from inside. That's why he says a baby can smile even as an infant, because that's the neshama coming through the guf, the neshama coming out and showing that the neshama is working properly. He writes that parents pine to see the smile of their children. That's all your parents want to see, is you smiling. And the other way, you also want to see the smiling of your parents. You want to see your parents in good mood. Nobody wants to walk into a house where their parents are not in a good mood. It's not pleasant for anyone. And it goes both ways for the children as well. To smile for parents and to smile for children. A Rebbe loves to see the smiling of his students, and the students love to see a Rebbe who's smiling in good nature as well. It makes it more pleasurable for everyone involved. In the biography of Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, published by the family, it's called Derech Eitz HaChaim. It's a beautiful two-volume biography. There's a whole chapter on the connection between Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer and his students. It is worth reading for anyone who's interested in Chinuch and Avodas HaKodesh. To see how Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer treated his students, it was total Ha'aras Panim. That's all it was. It was 24/7, 365 Ha'aras Panim from Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer to his students. They talk about that when students would have Chidushei Torah, Shtiklach, to share with the Rebbe, and he would say, Baruch Hashem, that you had such an amazing Chidush, and he would dance around the room and make them feel so incredible about what they had to add to the Shir, even if they didn't say anything that was so special, but just the importance he took in making them feel good and smiling towards them. And he's had sometimes that there were students, sometimes students can be frustrating in the classroom. It happens that sometimes students can be frustrating in the classroom. And what would happen was, he would go outside, and he would walk around, and they overheard him saying that children also have kavod abrios. Children also have kavod abrios. Children also have kavod abrios. And he would go back into the class, and he would start again with the haras panim and smiling at them, to treat even the child in such a beautiful way. When he would give bechinos, usually when the Rebbe has to give a bechina, it's annoying, you have to sit there, you have to test, so it takes time. He would have such simcha to make sure every single child felt beloved with a proper ha'aras panim. And when students would offer explanations, he was famous for that weren't so on target, he would try to twist around what they were saying that didn't make any sense and turn into a whole shtickle Torah to make them feel better about themselves. And they would say, ah, you had such a geshmak chiddush, and make this whole shtickle Torah that he made up into their idea. This is pure ha'aras panim, to make another person feel good, to make them smile, to make them happy. Rabbi Krohn writes in the Maggid Speaks that during in Tsarist Russia, so the young men were conscripted into the army. And they tried different ways to get out, the different peturim, different exemptions from the army. And Rav Yitzchak Chanan Spector was the Rav of Kovna at that time. And there was a young student of his who was about to be conscripted into the army. And they had tried to get peturim for him, and they applied, and they didn't know. And they're about to get back the news very soon what was going to be with this young man. Was he going to be conscripted into the army, or was he going to have an exemption? And at that time, during the day, Rav Yitzchak Chanan had to sit in a basin. And he was there with other dayanim and other litigants, and he told them, I want you to interrupt the basin if news comes. So the first boy comes in, and he knocks on the door of the basin, and he opens up the door, and he says, ah! The young man, his name was Yaakov, whatever it was, he says, Yaakov, you got exempt from the army. And everyone was very excited. Rav Yitzchak Chanan said, ah, a bracha for bringing me such amazing news. Thank you so much. It really made my day. And the boy walks out. 5 minutes later, another knock on the door, and another bacha comes in and says, Yaakov, he got his exemption from the army. This is so exciting. And Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanah said, thank you so much for giving me this news. You should have tremendous bracha and atzlacha for bringing me this amazing news. And the boy walked out again. And then the third time, another knock on the door, and he interrupts the basin again, and another bacher says, Yaakov got an exemption from the army. And Rav Yitzchak Elkanah said again, thank you so much for this amazing news. It really made my day. Thank you so much for telling me. And he gave him another bracha, she should be matzliach, for bringing him such amazing news. This happened, they said, perhaps another 4 or 5 times. And each time, Rav Yitzchak Elkanah smiled. And he said, thank you so much for bringing me the news. It is so common that we are worn out and we can't lift up a smile again. We're tired. We just can't do it. You know, just leave me alone. I had a bad day. 9 to 10 times, someone knocked on the door to tell him the same thing. Cannot imagine how annoying that could be. 9 to 10 times he knocked on the door to tell him the same thing. And each time, a smile, a thank you. This is being mayor upon him. This is making another person feel good. In the Hakdama to the Torah Savram, Rav Avram Grzhensky, Rav Olbi says that Rav Avram Grzhensky, who took over the yeshiva after the altar of Slobodka left in Europe, so Rav Avram Grzhensky worked on the midah of being sever panim yafos, to smile at people, whenever you meet them, for 2 years. That was his avoda. For 2 years he worked on being sever panim yafos, and he mastered it. In the ghetto, even when times were terrible and times were horrific, he smiled all the time to those who came to see him. That's how important it is to work on it. It's not a waste of time to work on being saver, to have saver panim yafos. In Chelek Beis in the Alei Shor, so Rav Volbi continues in Daf Resh regarding Haaretz Panim, and he says that smiling and wishing someone shalom is a genuine manner of showing Haaretz Panim. And he goes on to quote the following story, that Rav Moshe Rosenstein, who learned in Kelm when he was very young, and when he walked into Kelm the first day, he didn't know anyone. He was a young boy, didn't know anyone there. He was very intimidated by this very impressive yeshiva, and he walks in, and his bags are in hand, and all of a sudden, an older guy comes over to him. He says, welcome, we're so glad to see you here. He says, you must be tired from your journey, you must be hungry. Come with me, we'll get you something to eat. This is so amazing you're here. I'm really excited to see you. And young Rav Moshe was a little confused because he didn't remember knowing this person, and he felt awkward, like when you meet someone and they know you and you don't know them. So he didn't really know what to say. He's like, so nice to see you, too. And he just didn't really know what was going on. And he sits him down at the table, gets him something to eat, and then a few minutes later, another older bacha comes in. He says, it's so good to see you. I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you for coming. It's wonderful to have you in the yeshiva. You must be hungry. Can I get you something to drink? Anything. And again, Rav Moshe was a little confused because he didn't remember knowing this person. He didn't think he knew anyone in Kelm. And after a while, he figured out that this is the way they greeted people in Kelm. When someone walked in, you gave them a smile, a shalom aleichem, and you made them feel like $1 million. The whole yeshiva worked that way. The whole yeshiva worked on that manner. Certainly something to work on in ourselves, to have this appreciation. At the end of the Vad there, Rav Olbi says that a person should take upon themselves to work on being makdim shalom aleichem to 3 people a day. A person should have a count. Did I say shalom aleichem first in a hearty manner to another person, another human being, 3 times a day? A small thing to work on. And then Rav Olbi concludes the maimer as follows. He says, let's not be so selective about who we show haaretz panim to. He says it's easier to smile at a friend, to smile at another ben Torah, a frum Jew. But he said you need to smile at everyone. It doesn't matter who it is. It's a lady walking her dog down the street. It's a person in the grocery store. It's the doctor's office. Wherever you are, there needs to be a big smile. That's the avoda. Not just on the people you know, but wherever you go, haaretz panim, showing people with big smiles. And perhaps, you never know, a kiddush Hashem will be made, bring someone back to Torah and mitzvos. The value, it's so simple just to smile at someone and to make them feel good about their day. You have here on the sheets, the Sefer Yerayim writes in Simon Kuf Pei, in the Rishonim, Ukeshem she'ona bedvarim, just like you can hurt someone with words, kach ona b'ayin ra, shemara panim ra'im shemaso lev. Just like you can hurt someone with your words, you can violate ona with your face, by having a sour face and walking around with in a bad mood on your face, even though you feel fine, but your resting face looks like you're just ate a lemon. So this is a violation of Onas Dvarim. Of Onas Dvarim, to walk around with a bitter face all the time, says the Sefer Yireyim. They say Rav Huttner said, in the name of Yisrael Salanter, that just like a person who has a heart that's full of pain is a bor b'shus hayachid, a face that's full of pain is a bor b'shus harabim. It causes other people damage. To walk around with a upset and sad face causes damage to other people. They tell a mice with Rav Salanter, who was around the Saris Yimei Tshuva, and he saw there was a young man who just looked horrible. He looked like he was going to cry. And he went over to him and he said, "What's going on? How can I help you?" And after a few minutes, he realized that everything was fine. So Rav Sal said, "I understand. Why are you walking around like with this terrible face on? Where's your smile? What's going on?" And the young man said, "Rebbe, don't you know? It's Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We have to meet this Hadin. We have to be very serious." So Rav Yisrael said, "Why do I have to suffer because of your Yom Hadin? Why do I have to be in a bad mood because you need to work on yourself? It's not fair. You need to walk around with a pleasant smile, a pleasant face, wishing greetings to other people to make them feel good about yourself." It is said that the altar of Slobodka was giving a sicha once, and in the middle of the sicha, he looked out and he saw a bachar and he yelled at him and he said, "Ganav! You're stealing. You're a ganav." So the bachar said, "What are you talking about? I'm not a ganav. I didn't steal anything." So the altar of Slobodka said, "You're sitting here with your sad face and your face is Rosh Hashanah, and you're stealing the Simchas HaChaim from other people. You're ruining people's day. You're a ganav. You need to sit with a smile, with a pleasant face, with the aras panim to make other people feel good as well." Rabbi Chanuch Teller writes in his biography, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who is famous for his smile, as follows. He says, "Rosh Shlomo Zalman loved people, and most of all, he loved making people happy. Smiles are often contagious, and perhaps that is why he always wore one. Rav Avram Yosef Lazerson, who possesses the largest collection of snapshots of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, noticed that there is a smile adorning Rosh Shlomo Zalman's face in virtually every picture, except the ones in which he's holding a Torah, reflecting his awe of holding the holy text. Not long before he passed away, Rosh Shlomo Zalman gave this blessing to a young family member: learn well, eat well, sleep well, and always smile." Important, certainly just as important as taking care of your health, is to work on one's smiling. Which brings us to the famous mission in the first parak of Avos, Habei Mekabalas Kol Adam B'Savior Panim Yafos. Rabbeinu Yoni here writes on the Mishnah, Sheyira Lahem Panim Shal Simcha, to show every person a face of Simcha, Kedei Shetiyah Ruach HaBrios Nochemenu, so other people can be happy after dealing with you. Rabbeinu David Hanagid is the grandson of the Rambam. He writes in his Perush that even if a person is learning Torah, it's not bittul Torah to have aras panim. It's not bittul Torah to smile at a person and to make them feel good. There's no bittul Torah there. Everyone has to do it. And the Meiri says that the Mishnah uses the expression sever panim yafos. Why doesn't it just say panim yafos? Because sever panim yafos means even if you're not in the mood, you have to put on the mask. Even if you're not in the mood to smile, you have to smile anyway. You have to. This is what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. I heard once from a finer. He had a fantastic, Shtikl Torah. He said the pasuk says that that learning Torah should be chal v'udvash v'fi. It should be like milk and honey in your mouth. So a finer said, "What's the chiddush that it should be like milk and honey? It should be one. Honey like sweet, but what's the milk?" So a finer said, "Chas v'shalom, a person should be learning Torah, and there's not chalav, there's not the libun of the shinayim, there's no smile when you're learning Torah. Learning Torah has to be geshmak. When you say over dvar Torah, it's besimcha, you're smiling. When you're learning Torah, it's besimcha, you're smiling. That's the chalav in the pasuk. Chal udvash b'fi, the chalav, the white of your teeth needs to show whenever you're learning Torah as well." So, what do we have about smiling? We need to work on it constantly. We need to work on our resting face as well, right? When a person's walking around, you're not doing anything, so it might be awkward the first time, but you work on it. I don't know, spend time in front of a mirror. See what it looks like when you're not doing anything with your face. Does it look good or does it look bad? If it looks bad, you should spend some time working on smiling and seeing that when you walk around, are you making other people feel good when you go? And They say in the name of Dale Carnegie, who's famous for his How to Win Friends and Influence People. He says that one of the six ways to make people like you is to smile. So there's a fringe benefit as well. You make other people feel good with the aras panim, and you make other people like you as well with your smiling. So it works out well for everyone. And this is the Midah, this is the message of Moshe Rabbeinu, who lived his entire life, from the beginning of his time working with Klal Yisrael, Vayar B'Sivlosam, to go out and to worry about them, to have Aras Panim, and towards the end of his life, to worry about Ari Miklat, to worry about refugee cities for people who commit manslaughter. Yeah, Ha'aras Panim, to give one a person a smile, to shine the sun upon them, and to let them know that you care about them, that you feel for them, and that they should have a good day, and they should be doing well. It should be in the zechus of our being Meir Panim on other people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Meir Panav upon us as well.